It was a casual meal, no tables, with the food served on an assortment of home-fired dishes and wooden platters. Big bowls of food sat on a trestle, to be taken away and eaten while sitting on the cropped grass around the huts. Josiah Steele had brought them straight to the head of the self-service line, where Wolf was already waiting for them, holding a rough-cut goblet of reconstituted glass filled to the brim with spring water. He greeted them cheerily as he ladled out stew.
You love this venison stew, Carter. The meat's a lot better quality than what you had back at Mom's. And speaking of Mom's place, I sent some sex scouts back along the trail to check out the smoke. Sad story. They found the place burned down. And a charred skeleton in the ashes. Oh, yeah, and a stink of kerosene. Sounds like she disagreed with someone who ate there.
Ryan figured that the leader of the Children of the Rock strongly suspected their involvement in the slaying and arson, but wasn't particularly worried, and was letting it pass unchallenged. Which was fine with Ryan. But it was another good reason to keep checking over his shoulder. The rich stew came with an assortment of fresh vegetables, well-cooked and flavored with a mix of local herbs and spices. Doc was the only one whose platter didn't groan under the weight of the food. He had selected a few tender pieces of venison for himself, and a small spoonful of the buttered whipped potatoes, picking at his food between noisy snuffles and outbreaks of phlegmy coughing. The old man looked pallid and was sweating profusely, though the temperature under the shadowing mammoth trees couldn't have been much above 70. Wolf joined the seven on the grass and sat next to J.B.
So tell us about this testing.
Nothing for anyone to worry about. If they are pure of heart and fine of spirit, then the blessed Jesus Christ, our Savior, will stand at their shoulder and guide them through the snares laid down by the evil one.
Blessed is the light of the world.
Yea, verily, amen to that. Enjoy your repast and give thanks to the Almighty for its preparation.
When the testing start?
Tomorrow, midday, if we can arrange it. I can see that you and the boy will have skills to offer to us. Young men, agile and lithe. And I have no doubt that having walked the walk with Brother Ryan Carter and Brother Dix will have set you both up for that sort of living.
Since the testing's not till tomorrow, you mind if I took my friends out for a little wreck of the area this afternoon?
No problem. You can even have up to a dozen of my finest men to escort you, just in case of trouble.
Trouble?
Apaches. Constant thorn on our side. They'll likely see you before you spot any sign of them. Nothing like the Mescalero for hiding.
A lot of tribes are as good as the Mescalero at an ambush. Cheyenne, Oglala, Pawnee. We're familiar with their ways. Enough that we won't be needing the Sekmen. But thanks for the offer.
Suit yourself. Just be sure you're back before dusk.
Ryan had finished his meal and given the empty plate to one of the women. He felt comfortably full and relaxed, though a little concerned about the state of Doc's health, which seemed to be further deteriorating. At least they were in what seemed a snug and secureville, with warm fires and food and stout walls. If Doc was going to be ill, then there were lots of worse places to be.
Brothers and sisters!
Joshua Wolf rose from his sitting position and clapped his right hand against his thigh, drawing everyone's attention.
After that wonderful meal provided by the kindness of the Almighty, prepared by the Sisterhood, it is time for a short service to welcome the newcomers into our midst.
Ryan glanced at the others to see if anyone had any obvious objections to the idea of participating in a religious service. Personally, he had no sort of belief in any kind of Orthodox faith. Trust yourself a lot and your friends a little, and nobody else at all. That was the creed according to the trader, and Ryan went along with that. The heavy shutters that had been covering the windows of the squat Church of Hopeville had all been thrown back, revealing some surprisingly beautiful stained glass, its bright, rich colors glistening in the early afternoon sunshine. Gradually, like fall leaves carried on a light wind, most of the inhabitants of the settlement made their way toward the heavy building, the shadow of its tower stretching across the trodden turf to welcome them. The overwhelming color was the maroon of the men's jackets, matched by the blouses and skirts of the women. Ryan noticed that all of the men carried their blasters with them wherever they went. It was something that he approved of, if it was true that they were in a state of permanent armed conflict with the local Mescalero. If you met up with hostile Apaches, then you best be carrying all the weapons you could manage. There was no such thing as too many blasters. Wolf shepherded them along.
Come, my dear outlanders. you shall face the testing with the love of Jesus Christ as your shield and buckler.
You mean sword.
How's that, old-timer?
My apologies, friends. I simply thought it fit to correct your error, Master Wolf. That was all.
Error? I think you should know that I am not in the habit of making any errors.
Forgive me, dear sir, but indeed you did. You spoke of shield and buckler, did you not?
Wolf hesitated for a moment. Owsley had joined them and looked on eagerly, expectantly. The men and women of the Ville were all pressed around him, hanging on the exchange. It was all too obvious that it was unusual for anyone to contradict something said by Brother Joshua Wolf.
Let it lie, Doc.
I said shield and buckler, Brother Tanner. That was what I said.
My point, sir. That is a plain tautology. Redundant redundancy.
What the fuck you blathering about, you triple stoop?
A shield, sir, is a buckler. And a buckler is a shield. They are one and the same thing. I believe that what you meant to say was sword and buckler. Or mayhap you might have said sword and shield. One and the same thing, Brother Wolf. They are one and the same.
That is so interesting. By the cherubim and seraphim, Brother Tanner, but I am so pleased that you saw fit to correct my foolish error.
That's enough about errors, Doc. Give me your arm. Let's go and have us some churchin'.
But of course, madam. I shall mark your footsteps, good my page, and follow in them closely. And the wolf and the moth shall not corrupt us, while the rabid wolf shall lay down with the lion. I could wolf down some good communion wafers and wine. Wolf them, Brother Wolf.
Owsley moved in on Mildred, his eyes tight with rage, the tip of his tongue flicking at his suppurating lips like a rattler tasting the air. His hand was on the butt of the Hawes Montana Marshal. Ryan's fingers closed on the Sig Sauer, and he expected the whole afternoon to erupt into gunfire and bloodshed.
You better shut that old fucker up.
No. No, Brother Owsley. It doesn't signify at all. I'm interested to learn about my mistake.
Brother Joshua Wolf ruled the moment. The hair trigger instant came and went. The inside decoration of the building was like nothing Ryan had ever seen before. Most churches he'd encountered had religious pictures on the walls. Saints at their labors or resting in all styles and patterns. One near Zuni had Christian imagery pictured through Native American art, the apostles as Kachina figures. This was different.
Dad, this is something else.
Dean blatantly gawked at the decor as he slid along into one of the front oak pews on the right side of the narrow maroon-carpeted aisle. Josiah Steele sat down next to Ryan at the end of the row.
Not many churches look like this, do they, Brother Carter? You could walk the length and breadth of all Deathlands and never see its like in any Ville.
I can't argue with that.
Joshua Wolf had gone to the front of the building, standing with arms folded, his hooded eyes watching, as his congregation settled into their places. He looked like a man in his element, surrounded by the church motif which was repeated endlessly around the walls and windows of the building. The same theme even decorated the arched ceiling. Christ was portrayed as a white man in his 30s, with neatly trimmed hair and a small goatee beard, his blue eyes glittering fanatically. In most of the paintings, he was wearing a smart set of camouflage fatigues and carried a whole range of weaponry. The main stained glass window behind the altar, which was made from ammo boxes riveted together, showed him hefting a Kalashnikov, flames spitting from the muzzle. In one of the side windows, highlighted in garish reds and yellows, the Savior was carrying an antique Lee Enfield bolt-action rifle with a bayonet fixed. Blood dripped from the steel blade. Spread all across the ceiling was the military Jesus, complete with a halo of golden barbed wire, leaning from the cockpit of an unidentifiable tank that was driving over a mountain of pulped corpses, most of which were clearly of different, non-white ethnic origins. Another image showed the Christ figure slitting the throat of a huge red-eyed grizzly, a jet of arterial blood spurting out over the faces of a group of worshipping acolytes, all holding Smith & Wesson automatics.
Not like any blessed and merciful Jesus that I've ever seen, or like a kind of religious Conan the Barbarian.
Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. I see precious little evidence of either meekness or mildness.
Welcome to the First Church of the Children of the Rock in the holy sanctuary of Hopeville.
Amen!
The Church of Jesus Christ of Paramilitary Fundamentalists welcomes all. We are here in the name of the Lord Jesus, armorer over all blasters, watcher of ammo and hammer and bolt and cartridge, master of the full metal jacket, upholder of the razor steel blade. We worship gladly, O Lord, at thy feet. We welcome thy blessed aid in all manner of chilling. Thou out there at the shooting and the stabbing, at the strangling and the drowning, at the poisoning and the flaying, the hider and the hunter and the tracker, at the slitting and the hacking, and the brother with the switchblade knife, at the burning, the night's ambush, and the final shuddering breath.
On the other side of the church, Ryan noticed an immensely tall and powerful woman, her eyes closed behind layers of fat, strangler's hands clasped, mouth open in adoration. She wasn't someone he cared to go up against in a dark alley after midnight. The giantess suddenly threw her arms up above her head, her fingers almost touching the ornate wrought iron chandelier.
Hallelujah! Come heal the sick and trample down the weak!
Looks like she's done her fair share of trampling the weak.
On the left side, in the second row of pews, Jim Owsley turned and scowled at J.B. Wolf ignored the minor interruption.
We listen and note all your teachings, Master-at-Arms Jesus. Keep the sun at your back and allow for windage. Lay off the shot if you're firing down a hill, and never hit 17 when you're up against a dealer. Never give your real name to a gaudy hooker. Keep your powder dry and your blaster clean and oiled.
Amen.
John, shh.
Ryan leaned back uncomfortably, thinking that he'd never actually sat in a comfortable seat in any church, anywhere in Deathlands. It seemed to be an inevitable, integral part of any religious ceremony. Christy insinuated her strong hand into his, squeezing his fingers. Ryan responded by tightening his grip on her hand.
We are as one with Christ the guerrilla fighter. We are as one with the blessed omni-survivalist. One with the double cross and the flame. One with all who are at one, and against anyone who opposes him or stands against the children of the rock.
Amen!
We have here, Lord, 7 outlanders. 2 known to us from the olden days when they walked a different path. Now they seek the light, and we welcome them. All that remains is a testing, and this shall be done before all brothers and sisters at noon tomorrow. Let us raise our voices in song.
By bullet, precious Lord, to its swift and sure reward, let it blast the villain's heart, who refuses to take thy part. Guide my bullet, this I pray, that I may shoot.